Greenwich or to Hollywood. When I'm taking a Greyhound on the Hudson River line, I'm in a New York state of mind.
Welcome to the Report, readers and listeners. Last week's didn't really go over too well.
No, it didn't.
No? You want me to do it the normal way?
Yeah, do it normal.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. How's that?
That's better.
All right. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and Trevor Manbun Sikkema, a.k.a. Steven Stamkos, a.k.a. Viking.
There you go.
A.k.a.
I like this.
Gator Lover.
No, we got to stop. We got to stop, or else they'll start getting bad.
Yeah.
A.k.a.
So
Jim McElwain's birth son.
I prefer Love Child.
No,
Love Child.
Love Child. No, yes. Please, no. Yes. Anything but that.
Yeah.
Jim McElwain, Shark Coordinator. Go on.
All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about college football, this whole podcast, and the Lightning.
Yeah.
What do you think, guys?
Sounds like a winner to me.
People have already turned off.
Because
I don't think so.
This team is,
I think they're calling their friends
losing
and saying, hey, guys, tune into the Pewter Nation podcast because they're not talking to the Buccaneers. Anything but the Buccaneers.
Okay, so we have already made our reservations for the Senior Bowl. We will be at the East-West Shrine Game.
We 10 Buccaneers at the Pro Bowl.
Anticipating the draft, months away. So we're getting ready for the offseason in October, November, unfortunately.
Funny joke, Scott. That's impossible. This is a team that was on Hard Knocks. He brought in a ton of offensive talent that's coming off a 9-7 record. And
all these things are true.
Expected to contend for a division title. So,
all of these things are true.
So what you're saying is false.
No,
everything's true up until the start of the season. I should say after really the Giants game.
Screw you, Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, Hurricane Irma messed this team up. There's
no doubt
about it.
Yeah. No, you made a good point. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. Team starts, 3-1.
Possibly. Might be different.
It might be different.
Because that Dolphins game would have been a win.
Yeah. So
I don't know anymore.
You beat the Dolphins.
Who knows? But like week one would have been a win.
Right. You beat the Dolphins. You come home, beat the Bears.
Maybe lose to Minnesota.
Sure.
Come back home,
beat
the
Giants.
Yeah. That Giants win is looking less and less impressive, too.
Here's the other thing, too. What if this team knew three games in that Nick Folk was not the kicker and had a new kicker, had Pat Murray by the time they played the Patriots? I mean, it's all what-ifs and hypothetical scenarios, but I got to think the fortunes would be a bit different had they started playing the schedule the way it was originally intended at Miami with the bye week later in the season. I'll tell you what, these players need a bye week like right now.
Yeah,
they got to do something to mix this up because it's gone from bad to worse. If you thought the Arizona game was bad, the New Orleans game was worse, and folks, Pewter Nation out there, this game on Sunday might be rock bottom if I think it's going to go the way
you
it's
say
go.
This team needs a bye week. They may be on the bye week essentially this week. You and Rick Stroud were talking earlier today. This is essentially a preseason game. No Jameis Winston, no Mike Evans. You could be missing both tackles with this team.
Both defensive ends.
I mean, this literally is like the second half of the fourth preseason game when you look at some of the starters that are going to be in this game.
You might have Kevin Pamphile and either Caleb Benenock or Leonard Wester starting as your tackles.
Well, what's the problem with that?
Bad football.
Actually,
it's going to go from bad to worse.
I'll take either one of those over the way Donovan Smith has played.
I would take Kevin Pamphile over Donovan Smith right now, yeah.
And Trevor did a good job in his cover three this week where he broke down the offensive line. Somebody must have gave you a good suggestion on that, Trevor.
That was you.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just had it when watching the game on Sunday. And, again, I don't dislike Donovan Smith personally at all. And I was Scott, you and I were in Mobile. We watched Donovan Smith. And we saw this massive guy in all white, wearing the white Penn State helmet, which made him look even bigger. And this was a mountain of a man compared to these other offensive linemen. And, coming from a pro-style offense, not some of these spread offenses, we thought, this might work out well. I'm positive we could go back in our archive, Scott, and write that despite as good as he looked in this, his footwork was still kind of slow. That's the suspect thing.
Yep.
And here we are, three, four years later?
Yeah. 3 years in.
And the thing is, he even lost some weight this offseason, dropped about 10 pounds. felt lighter, more agile on his feet, but it hasn't shown up. No. He still has those lazy tendencies of not moving his feet as quick as he needs to, not taking the right steps.
But Trevor pointed out he might not be able to. That might be the best he's got.
Right, and that's just, yeah, 3 years in, if this is, look, if on the scouting report coming into the NFL, if it says that you have heavy feet and we are 3 years into your career, you've been taught different kinds of techniques in the NFL. You've maybe even lost a little bit of weight. And if you still have heavy feet, guess what? You're just always going to have heavy feet.
And I'll tell you this. With offensive linemen, you know, the NFL scouting departments do a pretty good job. And when they talk about footwork, that is the difference between being a high second-round pick and being a top five pick.
100%.
If Donovan Smith had the footwork of Walter or Walter Jones, is that the Hall of Famer from Seattle? Or you know, or
you know,
some of these, Tony
Boselli,
some of these guys, then he's a top five pick in the first round because he has the size and the, you know, and the strength. And we see him when he gets locked, if he gets his hands in and he gets locked up, you're not going anywhere.
Paul Gruber was never a big man,
right?
You know, it's just he had great technique and great footwork.
Yeah, I mean, I pointed out in the cover three, man, the size and the strength, even just the athleticism for being a man that big, it's all there with Donovan Smith. The things that aren't there are his feet. He can't. And when you're an offensive lineman, what is your job? To get in front of people, right? It's to get in the way. And if you can't move yourself to get in the way, it doesn't matter.
And
you
and
just
also
get blown
too,
by.
If you look at the body type, okay, he's a big guy. And you can look around the league, even in years past. I can only think of like Tarik Glenn, who is a real big-bodied left tackle protecting Peyton Manning in Indianapolis.
Well, Donald Penn was kind of a big man.
No, he was. But, I mean, is Donald Penn one of those elite left tackles?
Donald Penn's better than Donovan Smith.
No,
I agree.
In his prime, he was. But you know why? Because despite him being a big, flabby guy, his footwork was amazing.
Great feet. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. He really did.
He played basketball.
Yes.
And I don't know if Donovan played basketball in high school, but he doesn't have basketball players' feet, that's for sure.
No,
that's
right. To Scott's point there with Donovan Smith and his footwork and to Mark's point, too, why he fell in the draft, that's it's a big deal for offensive linemen. And Jason kind of drafts him at the top of that second round there in 2015. You're rolling the dice with him. You go, look, I'm gonna trust my coaches to be able to teach him the way that he needs to. And hopefully, you know, that foot speed gets faster with better technique, with more practice, with all that stuff. You bet on it, but
he doesn't. But you know what?
It hasn't.
He doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler. He doesn't have to be a top five tackle. Right now, though, he's in the bottom five, in my opinion, based on that game that he played last week.
Yes.
And so I think Jason and his scouting staff, they saw what New England has done over the years. They have a makeshift line at times. They get guys injured. They cut guys. I mean, they bring guys in and out. You know, they'll throw five guys in there, and they make it work. You know what I mean? And I think maybe Jason was spoiled a little bit, or some of the people in his front office thought, well, we can get by with it. And it was a gamble I think you had to take because, look, how many offensive linemen were drafted in the first round last year?
Well,
two?
Yeah, and it makes perfect sense, too, to have a guy that has a lot of talent, take him in the second round, especially the same year that you draft a franchise quarterback, to have – you know, to shore up that position with a young developing left tackle
and add a guard,
right?
And now he's a center, but I mean another offensive line.
Yeah,
all I mean, of the
it
same
made
draft.
Sense back then. It just he hasn't developed, and that quite frankly is on Donovan. That's not really on Jason Light. That's not even on Dirk Cutter.
It's not even on Warhop.
Yeah,
because Warhop stood right over here next to where we're doing this podcast.
What did he say?
And he says it's up to him.
Donovan
it's time
Smith
for him.
Will be as good as he
as
wants
good as
to
he
be.
Wants to be.
Yep.
Because he has the attributes, and he can be as good as he wants. But he can be a top five tackle in this league if he wants to be. Donovan Smith doesn't want to be. And here's the crazy thing, guys. If I'm Donovan Smith, I am busting my ass because where's the money at in this league besides quarterback?
Offensive linemen.
Pass rushers,
you
pass
get to that second contract as a Pro Bowl. If he would have made the Pro Bowl in his first 4 years, he's talking major, major money.
Yeah, and it would scare me if I'm the Buccaneers. It's not like they're going to cut him. But I think you have to look for his replacement.
They're not going to re-sign him.
Yeah,
no.
But, I mean, but if they move him to guard or something next year, you suggested perhaps they re-sign him, depending on how he does.
I mean, they better move him to guard quick.
But the scary thing is what's next year for him? It's a contract year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd be scared to death if someone like Donovan Smith comes out and lights it up during a contract year.
No.
Smith am I going to get?
Donovan Smith shouldn't be playing left tackle next season.
I agree.
I mean, it's just.
But you guys have analyzed the draft. Where are we at offensive linemen this year? I mean, it's better than last year. I know that much.
They're going to have some – I mean, they'll have some options, but I don't really know if you're going to pick one of them in the top five right now. Like, the best offensive lineman to me in the country is Quentin Nelson. He plays for Notre Dame. He's a stud guard.
He's Zach Martin coming out of Notre Dame a couple years
ago. Nelson, I think, is going to be an all-pro player for years and years and years. But, like, do you draft a guard in the top five? Because that's where the Bucs are going to get picked. That's where they're going to pick. So,
and God, they need pass rush help so bad.
Right, and so I don't know if anything goes above, you know, if they have a chance to take Bradley Chubb, I don't think anything goes above that. Even if they need, you know, we have all established now they need offensive line help.
Right.
But here's the thing. If they drop this game this Sunday, which I think we all think they will, and they drop the next one the next week, the team is sitting at 2-8. Kevin Pamphil's in a contract year. Put him at left tackle. Put him at right tackle. Whatever. Just put him out there full time and put Donovan Smith at guard. Because you already know what offensive line you have in front of you, because a lot of these guys have been here for a while. And you know what this offensive line is getting into this point? 2-8.
When this team gets to 2-9, that's when the experiments start happening.
No, not this year.
You have to.
Dirk Koetter needs as many wins as possible this year.
I'll tell you.
Because there's not going to be a next year for
him.
That's
true. That's the reason James Winston isn't on IR right now.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what Dirk Koetter needs. He needs to show that he can outthink a situation and be the right coach rather than maybe get the short-term wins. Yep. I know that it's a wins and losses
business. You cannot keep your job. It doesn't matter what he shows if they finish 2-14.
Anyways.
Then he's gone. Then it doesn't matter what he does.
It's just really frustrating because Pamphil in a contract year, this has been already frustrating at this point that they're splitting time with him and Evan Smith. I don't care that you have two offensive linemen. Freaking play one of them.
Right.
Just pick one. And if Kevin Pamphil's not the better one, don't play him.
Right.
And instead, like you just said, Donovan Smith's not in a contract year. He's not until next year. So he's going to be around.
Right.
Kevin Pamphil is not. It's not like next year you can go into the offseason and go, oh, we can just kick Pamphil out there because he's here.
You don't
know if he's here.
Guys, they are getting crazy money. Look what Riley Reiff, or whatever his name is, got.
Guys that aren't even pro bowlers.
Yeah,
guys that are
good
guys, but not great linemen.
Tons of money.
Yeah.
That's why if you don't figure out how to best maximize somebody, you're going to overpay the crap out of them. And in 2 years, they're not going to be on your team.
If you're Jason Line, are you trying to re-sign? Are you working on a deal for Pamphil before free agency even begins?
No.
Why?
No.
He's the younger of the two. You're not counting on Evan Smith, who's over 30
years. Well, he's 28 years old.
But it's
not like he's going to be – well, he'll be 28 next year. It's not like he's
– I think Pamphil's
25 years
old,
26.
Pamphil's good, but they got to figure out what he does best.
Agreed.
He's splitting time at left guard.
There's that old saying, jack of all trades, master of none.
Sure.
And it would be great if he could master a position.
Just pick one, man. Kevin Pamphil seems to be better suited to play guard or to play tackle than Donovan Smith does.
He was a left tackle at Purdue.
Yeah, but I mean, prototype size-wise, he doesn't have really the build or the height. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the wingspan, those kind of things you want in a tackle. But if he performs, who gives a damn what the measurables say?
Right,
that's the thing.
Right,
you know,
right.
I agree with that.
You know what's kind of crazy? If you look at the offensive line, Donovan Smith was a left tackle at Penn State. You had Kevin Pamphil, who was a left tackle in college. Evan Smith was a left tackle in college.
Well, yeah.
Ali Marpet was a left tackle in college. Okay. Then you look at the right side. J.R. Sweezy played defense in college. He's a defensive tackle.
Right.
And Damar Dotson played
Seattle,
1 year
man.
Of defensive line.
The Seahawks,
and
man.
And that's it. So you've got, on the left side in your center, you've got four guys
bunch
that were
left tackles.
All left tackles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on the right side, you've got two guys that were defensive linemen and didn't play a down of offensive line in college.
Trevor, I was really surprised at how poorly J.R. Sweezy is graded out in those numbers you put up. That was from Pro Football Focus. I mean, he is by far the worst when you look at it statistically, according to those PFF grades. Now, I don't see that with the eyeball test, although I think the last two games have been his worst two games.
Right. No, I would agree with that. And I know people from Seattle who I was talking to during the offseason, I was just asking him about Sweezy, who had missed the whole year with a back injury, and they were saying, one of them in particular said, I'll be shocked if Sweezy even, plays again. So he's a guy who's covered Seattle, covered Sweezy, and he said, I'd be shocked if he plays again. So him playing is, I guess, proving that guy wrong a little bit, but certainly him being the all-pro guy that they hoped that they signed him to be has not come to fruition.
There's back injuries. I'm going to tell you, I had a back injury back in the day, and when I was out there tilling the yard with the mule, it was painful, man. You get out there, you think you're going to get over it in a whole season.
A little different.
You're going out there next season tilling the ground, and it's still hurting.
A little different, you know, playing football and guiding a mule. But
well, yeah, tilling the ground, Uncle Stan. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, Uncle Stan, chill, will you? I don't know what the problem is with Sweezy, because when I watch him, I don't see him as bad as these grades are. But obviously,
I don't see him that bad, you know, but certainly not the guy that they hoped that he would be.
And is grading out lower in run blocking?
And run,
that's
and
the
pass
that
protection.
Was kind of the biggest.
Well,
this team
doesn't really know how to run block, and that's obvious. With
I love the clip that you put up where the Buccaneers did their best 2013 imitation of the Florida Gators, where they blocked themselves on one play.
Yeah, OJ Howard and
Donovan Smith.
You know, I don't know if that's just, you know, that's a rookie, obviously. So you go, okay, it's a rookie, whatever. But preparation is kind of a big deal, and we actually asked Ali Marpet a little bit of that today in the locker room, just what the difference, how he thinks he's progressing with center, and we asked Todd Monken that as well, and Todd Monken talked about communication.
First of all, Todd Monken said the offensive line is playing relatively well this year and has been fine in pass protection.
Well, the thing is that the offensive line is kind of playing well this year. They're just never playing together. Like,
right.
Three guys will pass block really
that's
well.
That's kind of what he said.
One guy
will
blow
that's
it.
That's kind of what
you know?
He said,
and so
yeah.
We look at the output, obviously, and we can look at the stats and be like, all right, okay.
It's not five guys across the board that are screwing up.
Right.
It's a different guy each
but
play.
But it is enough for things to look bad. Certainly. Yes. I'm not trying to save the offensive line here. But anyways, going back to Marpet, one of the things that Monken said about his progression is that when you play guard, you're really only worried about your assignment and the guys next to you.
Right.
When you play center, you've got to be able to be the guy to point out where the mic is, where the blitz might be coming. You know, you work with the quarterback, where the certain adjustments should be, where you should shift, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, there were two plays that I clip in the cover three. One's with Sweezy and one's with Pamphil. They just, at the end of the play, they're just sitting there blocking nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
And Martin's getting tackled in the backfield. Yeah. And that's a chemistry thing. That's not even a these guys aren't good thing. That's a they hike the ball and
there was a player
helping.
Two, and I think one of them resulted in a false start, where Marpet is making a line call and Winston is pointing out, I mean, he's probably pointing out the mic, but he's probably pointing something else out. And this is as the clock is winding down, and Marpet's like waving him off, like no, I got the call. And so I just wonder how much of it is Jameis and
and
Ali seeing the same thing and sliding protections the same way and all of that. So,
lack of chemistry all around.
Yeah,
like with the and just with the entire team, Jameis and the receivers, the running back and the offensive line amongst each other, whatever it is, man, this team is just not gelling.
And you know what? It's kind of crazy because if this was Josh Freeman at the helm, I would get it. Josh is a bit of a space cadet, and you know, kind of a loose cannon in terms of preparation. Everybody in this building, from Jason Light to Dirk Cutter to Todd Monken to
Jill Hobbs
to everybody in this building, says Jameis Winston's the hardest working guy. He prepares the most, and gosh, if he's not clicking with these receivers, and there are some chemistry issues between the line and maybe what Jameis is seeing out there, it's just kind of nuts to think, because I don't know that Jameis can work any harder in terms of preparing.
Well, my determination is, and I'm not making excuses for Jameis's play the last 4 weeks, but Steve hasn't won since he hurt his shoulder. And yesterday in his press conference, Trevor, we saw him ask multiple times, was his shoulder affecting his play? And he said, what did he say? I'm not going to speak on that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. By not speaking on that, he's saying,
says,
I'm,
it says
it's
that
absolutely
he,
was
it's
affecting everything.
Yeah.
Now, good. We
speaks
know
volumes.
We know
really
Jameis
does.
Is. We know Jameis is not the most accurate guy, and he's still going to miss some of those guys. But there's no question that in my opinion, that this arm injury has certainly affected his accuracy and things like that. Now, as Dirk pointed out, just as puzzled as anybody, second half of the Buffalo game, plays his best half of football. You know what I mean? Comes out the next week against Carolina, plays awful. But I mean, that shoulder gets banged up over and over. I mean, it seems like every game he takes a hard play.
Nothing will get better until he stops playing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or he switches to left hand.
Yeah, which
I'm left-handed. I could teach him how to throw left-handed.
Right. He would work hard.
Yeah.
You know, a left-handed quarterback that they could sign.
Jim Zorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who I was going for.
Yeah, I thought so.
Jim Zorn. Yeah. Do you even know who Jim Zorn is?
I'm surprised you got that on the first guess. It was good.
Oh, Jim Zorn was my favorite quarterback as a kid. Seattle Seahawks started in 76, same as the Bucks. My grandmother bought me a Seahawks and a Buccaneers shirt for Christmas that year.
I have no idea
who that is.
Okay. Really? He had the best bowl cut of all time.
Oh, wow, really?
I mean, he's a left-handed quarterback, I bet so I love the guy.
He ended up being the Redskins head coach, too.
Yep, yep.
Like,
it was terrible.
First grade me could probably give him a run for his money because I swear I had the most perfect bowl cut.
Scott, you've seen my bowl cut pictures.
Yeah, I'm up there too, Cook. I mean,
really?
I have a bit of a cowlick going on as a
kid. Yeah,
but I mean, it looked like a Jell-O mold.
Seem like you could be like a Mike Gundy mullet guy.
Oh, yeah, in high school.
Were you?
Of course.
Okay.
True story.
I'll bring in my Miami Vice picture. It's my senior year picture.
Okay.
And it's a little bit Sonny Crockett, a little bit Def Leppard, a little bit Mike Gundy.
85, Turkey Creek Junior High School. The long sleeve
Turkey Creek
lightning bolt T-shirt tucked in to the tightest Jordache jeans you could possibly put on your body.
Go Gators.
With a pair of kangaroos, peg-legged.
Of course.
A rat tail and spiked hair up top. And to make it better, had the Z angle ear cut. It was down here, and then it angled up. Oh, so it's like God. I had like points right here.
You know, what I used to do...
I couldn't have been more stereotypical 80s white trash.
Man.
The rat tail lasted about 2 days till my dad came up behind me one day.
That's what we used to do.
Sniffed it?
Yes.
Before it was an actual TV network, there were things called Nickelodeons. They were arcades. And we had one at our mall, at Oak Park Mall in Kansas City. And you'd get these kids that had these rat tails.
You look like a Tempest guy.
No.
No?
No, Dig Dug.
Oh, wait, you were a Dig Dug guy?
Oh, yeah, Dig Dug.
So you liked the beginning of Stranger Things. You were all about that.
I was all over that. Okay. Yeah, I was like, Dig Dug, yeah. So, yeah, we would wait until these kids got really into this. Oh, man, like, you're going to get the high score? Yeah. And they'd be all so locked in to their video game. That's when you bring out the scissors and go, snip.
Oh.
And then be like, what the hell, man? And then
it takes
you have
over a year
to
grow it long enough.
Yeah, then you have a decision to make. You can either turn around and face me and lose your high score, or you can just deal with the fact that I get rid of your rat tail for you and, you know, saved your parents a lot of grief.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, we used to do that all the time.
Screw the high score. I would have turned around.
Find the little kids,
you.
Have the rat tails, go right behind them, snip.
Notice he said the little kids. He ain't doing it to the seniors in high school.
Of course not, man. Nah, that was stupid. No dummy.
All right. Well,
speaking of dummies, I'm not saying you guys are dumb, but I'm just making that transition here.
Okay.
Right. I mean,
essentially, you're saying we're dumb.
I'm looking at your picks for game by game picks.
Oh,
no,
game picks.
No, game picks.
I thought you meant
the selfies
I sent you.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
You like those?
I did not like those.
You love them.
Mental picture.
You like them?
I need. No. And you guys are 3-5 in your week to week picks. You guys are tied for last place.
Still
what
better.
Like, what are you, like, one win ahead of us?
Still better.
No, I'm
still better than the Bucks.
I'm 6-2. The only times I've been wrong this year are the Cardinals game and the Vikings game. I have picked the Bucks to either win or lose appropriately in 6 occasions.
Well, that's good.
I didn't even realize how awesome I was doing.
And guess what he wins, Trevor?
What games have I been wrong on?
Huh?
I'm trying to think of what games I've been.
5 of them.
Five. Obviously.
I was wrong on...
Go back and look.
I was wrong on the Minnesota one.
Yeah.
I was wrong
on... The Cardinals.
I
think you were also wrong on the Bills
game. I said they beat the Patriots.
And the Patriots, yeah.
Son of a gun.
See, I picked Patriots, I picked Bills.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm picking the Jets this week. J-E-T-S, Jets.
Well, I'm just going to keep picking... I'm going to keep the ball. I just got to pick whatever you're not picking because I got to catch up to you.
Okay.
So... Yep.
Well,
if the team makes a big turnaround.
That's true. I mean, it doesn't matter what your record is. We got to pick against what he is because he's 2 games
and
ahead.
And we're gonna write about it in the preview and like that we have the utmost faith in this team
there
to turn it around.
Actually,
this is the week.
No, I'm going to...
They're going to go on a 7-game winning streak, by God.
I'm going to write how awful they are in the preview, but then at the end, still pick them. Like, this team has zero chance to beat the Jets. Buccaneers win 35-17.
Every squirrel finds a nut, even when they're blind.
Right. Speaking of that. All right. So let's talk about the Jets real quick.
Okay.
Preseason game number 5 for the Buccaneers.
Yep.
Josh McCown,
battle
former
of the backups.
Buccaneer.
Yep.
Former Austin Seferian Jenkins, former Buccaneer.
Yep.
Yep.
You know they're going to connect for a touchdown.
Darrell Revis,
you
former
know
Buccaneer.
They're going to connect for a touchdown, and Austin Seferian Jenkins is going to do the Captain Morgan pose again.
No, well,
yes,
he can this year.
I know.
And not
it's
get
legal.
Fined.
Yes.
That's
he's going to do the Captain Morgan pose. I'm calling it right now.
I don't blame him.
I hope he does.
I called Donald Penn catching the touchdown
yes.
last year when they called the timeout.
Right.
I was like,
Let's be honest, though, Scott. I think everybody in the stadium also called that. Everybody except Mike Smith.
Yes, because he wasn't here for it. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. I think I agree. McCown is going to have his moments again this team, but McCown is McCown, and I love the guy.
Josh McCown is going to throw a touchdown to ASJ
to hang out,
and he's going to scramble for a touchdown.
But he's also going to throw two interceptions, including a pick six.
Aren't going to matter.
Yeah, pick six. Hargraves takes one back to the house.
Wow.
Wow. You're calling your shot.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm calling it. Hargraves to the house with a pick six over McCown, who doesn't even see him.
In a 31-7 loss to the Jets.
1981, my dad took me to my first Bucks game.
So they're going to make the point after attempt, though?
Yeah.
Good. All right, good. Good.
81, my dad takes me to my first Bucks game against the Denver Broncos. Craig Morton at quarterback, Steve DeBerg, the backup for the Broncos. Cedric Brown intercepts a pass and returns it for a touchdown. The only score of the day. Buccaneers lose 24-7.
There you go.
I remember every detail of that game. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I don't want that to be the only score, 31-7, like you're saying. But
I don't
that's probably.
Get 31. I think they're going to get like 28-7, something like that. Maybe 30-7. Not 31.
Not 31.
God, this offense
not that
is
extra
bad.
1 point.
Actually, this offense is going to do better with Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I said it in the last podcast.
God, you guys have turned on James.
No, I haven't. I have not.
I'm just kidding.
It's just
Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to do better than James.
Actually, you kind of have because I have the text from last week during the game.
That's true.
It's kind of turned on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say it again. Fitz, in four quarters of action, has put up 40 points. Jameis Winston, in the last 12 quarters he's played, has scored 36. And I know that Fitzpatrick came in when they had to throw the ball, they had to play catch-up.
Are you counting the touchdown that he scored for the Cardinals when he threw an interception at the one-yard line?
I'm not counting that one, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm just counting the ones that he has, the points that he's been accountable for. And he's got four more points in
he's just
eight
so
less
much,
quarters.
He's just so much more relaxed.
Throws like
I mean,
a
it
girl, though.
It doesn't,
agreed.
It doesn't mean anything
like
to him.
Just pushes the ball.
But he'll take chances. He'll do stuff.
He doesn't have a beard anymore. He's going to suck, guys.
That might be true.
You don't take the beard off mid-season.
November, like of all months.
Right. What, do you not support prostate cancer?
He's doing no-shave November. You shave it all off, and you grow it for the month.
But he already had it. You don't need to.
Right, but that's why he can do it. Like, I can't. If I shave my beard, I'm not going to get a beard back until, like, June. So that's why I can't do it. You might be able to do it.
All right.
I can do it overnight.
That's what I'm saying.
Cam Brate was asked, what's the one quality that sticks out to you about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Grit.
No, he said calm. He's calm. And you know what? That's what Jameis Winston needs to be. I think this is a blessing in disguise.
It is.
Because coming on off the heels of when he literally jumped the shark with the you want to eat a W, we're eating W's tonight.
Eh.
Like no, listen, that was ridiculous. That was I really like Jameis. I think the world of him. I think he's going to be a good
it's
quarterback.
It's ridiculous because they got blown out that game.
No.
They're on a five-game losing streak.
It would have been ridiculous.
He said the same thing last year, the alphabet soup. Everyone loved that one.
He did.
He topped it this year,
though. Well, it was a little weird.
He topped it.
The thing I was most uncomfortable about was after he took his hands out of his mouth, he went to slap someone's hand, and they're like, oh, yeah. See,
yeah.
I would have been like, I love you, Jameis, but you're not touching my hand with saliva on it.
Exactly. What I'd like to see, and I'm writing about this in the Fab Five for Friday, is a calm Jameis Winston. I would like for someone else to do the pregame speeches because I don't think Jameis Winston needs to get overhyped for games. If there's a problem in the first quarter with scoring and three and outs and not moving the ball and putting up points, maybe it's the fact that the quarterback gets too amped up before the game. It certainly looks that way
in
primetime games.
I think in this year in particular, he's been more calm than he has in his first 2 years.
He looked
I'm not
like
saying production has changed.
Spasmatic before the New Orleans Saints game with the eat the
W's. Oh, okay, that you're talking about. But once the game starts, he's been Dirk has called some easy throws for him to make, which he hasn't necessarily. Mike Evans dropped one against the Panthers on a third down that maybe changes things. Who knows? But you know, I always thought he got too amped up and he was sailing the ball and just completely inaccurate. Because he was too amped up, I don't know that I completely agree. I'll look forward to reading it. I want to see your point on that. That's why the Fab is good.
Well, if you look at Tom Brady and I put in Tom Brady,
Never heard of her.
The guy on Madden, you know the cover Madden. Okay,
you spelled Chris Winkie wrong.
Never
go
played
ahead.
It. What? Never played it.
Chris Winkie's just as good as Tom Brady. Just never got the opportunity. Go ahead.
Whoa, contraire, mon frère.
Josh Johnson just as good. Never got the opportunity.
No. Well, he did.
Can you believe that guy just got signed, Houston signed Josh Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Colin Kaepernick.
Well, I mean,
I can believe that. Sure. Where you been?
There's a reason why there's a lawsuit going on.
What rock have you been under?
Just somebody sign him so everybody will shut up.
Now they're not going to. Yeah. Now they can't.
Right.
Oh, he's not banned.
No. Okay.
Oh, he'll never play in the NFL again.
Here's the thing. Okay. What if Colin Kaepernick were to get signed and goes out and just absolutely craps the bed? You know, just like goes out and throws four picks and gets another opportunity and just is awful.
I think
still better than Tebow. At this
like all of the air would go out of the balloon.
No, at this point it wouldn't matter for Colin Kaepernick. If he went down and won the Super Bowl, or if he went out and threw eight interceptions in one game, it literally wouldn't matter. No argument would be made. We're at that point right now.
But
Josh Johnson.
Yeah, I know.
Brent Hundley?
Tom Savage was their starter.
Oh, gross.
He's poop.
Yeah.
He's actual poop.
He's poop.
Literally.
Yeah.
He's cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would just like to see Jameis learn from Tom Brady.
No, I don't.
Remember comes the preseason calm, when Tom cool, Savage said, collected. This is my team?
Oh,
when
God.
When Deshaun Watson's right behind him?
How'd that work out for you, Savage?
He didn't.
That was very savage of him to say that.
And then he comes out again, and it's my team again.
Yeah. Told y'all. That's what I would have said.
I told you.
I told y'all.
Only a matter of time.
Yeah. I knew I'd get another shot.
I just want to see a calm, cool, collected Jameis. Focused Jameis. Someone that can come out and just be ready to kill you. Like I really thought that Jameis was going to have a little bit more of a cold-hearted killer mentality because of the way he came back. I mean,
did you just encourage him to be a murderer?
Not like in the actual sense of
Trevor.
That's what I heard.
Of slaughtering people, FBI's killing
got
the line
tap.
Great,
they're here.
Killing the moment.
I just want to see him be not stressed out. I'm tired of just seeing Jameis so stressed out because
that's what I'm saying.
He can't read a defense.
Calm down.
He can't
relax.
Get off of his first read.
I got a friend. He hangs down the corner by the Mons and the Wendy's down there. I could relax him. I mean, no.
No.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Might work.
No, we don't need to get Jameis suspended.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Just calm down.
I mean, he's not playing anyways.
So, read that in the Fab. And, you know, God, I hate to do this, but we're already on draft time a little bit, kind of, sort of.
Let me ask you this, Scott.
So we're talking about Bradley Chubb. I'm going to introduce, if you're a Buccaneer fan out there, you've heard the name, I'm going to introduce you to Bradley Chubb, North Carolina State defensive end. That would be a dynamite first-round pick for this team.
I wonder if there's been any lines opened up yet for the first overall pick in next year's draft. But you know that's a bettable thing.
49ers have probably got the rights to that.
But I'm talking about player. Like, if you wanted to go to a certain website and maybe bet on who's going to be the number one draft pick next year.
Yeah, maybe.
That's coming, right?
I might have to go check out mybookie.ag, Mark.
I was trying to think of who I could go to.
To find out to see if they have that.
Yes.
They've got lots of lines, though. I've already put my college action in. I actually did a parlay. Or no, what's the three?
Teaser.
No, teaser.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
The trifecta?
I think that's horse racing, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Right. Yeah.
The triple crown?
What, are you going to the dog track?
No, I don't know.
Race the Greyhounds?
I put in like $5, and I picked three games. And if all three of those hit, I win like $50.
Is that not what a parlay is?
I thought a parlay was two. Is a parlay three?
I don't care.
Parlez-vous français?
I don't know.
Anyways, I did a lot.
I bet things straight up because I'm confident.
I did a lot of
betting.
Okay. I
look
bet
at
the money
team
line
and I go, all right, you're going to win.
Yep.
Here's all my money.
Yep.
That's how I do it. So I don't worry about your
teaser,
games and your
parlays.
You know, your stunts and twists.
I prefer
parlays. I don't worry about any of that.
I've done a lot of straight up betting.
Straight up the field.
I've done straight up betting. I've done money line. Now I'm venturing out and expanding the playbook a little bit.
Yeah, so is the Bucks
at mybookie.ag. And it's fun, too. I'm still in the money. I'm still winning, which is good. Had a great weekend last week, college football, and I dipped my toe back in the NFL water.
Oh, boy.
A certain game, and I'm not going to mention who it
was.
Don't
do it.
But I won $20.
Does the team you bet on rhyme with Faints?
It was the Faints versus the Ducks.
Yeah, I know those two teams.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I might be winning more money on Sunday against the Ducks.
And the Fets?
And the Fets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
6.5 points.
Oh, Lord, is that
it? Are you kidding me? Really? Okay.
But
the only thing that could screw that up is if Ryan Fitzpatrick ends up moving this team and putting points
in. Hey, South Carolina's only favored by a touchdown over Florida, so I would bet all your money on South Carolina
definitely
covering that.
Yep. All but right. Listen, and not that I'm betting against the Buccaneers out of joy or pleasure or whatever. It's just that if they're going to lose, I might as well make
that's
some
how you
money
do it.
Off of it.
Well, you know? If you're going to sit in the stadium and watch
money or
it,
happiness, which one do you want? Well, that's yeah. how you bet. You know? your team loses and you win money.
I bet against Kansas State. All right, so I bet for Texas Tech last week, and guess what? That's the best $20 I've spent. I get to see K-State remain in the bowl eligibility hunt.
All right, so if I've got $100 and I put it in my account, what happens?
Well, you can do that, or you can mention the promo code PEWTER, and they'll turn that $100 into $200.
Say what?
Yep, it'll double your money. Put in $500, man, you're going to get $1,000.
I'm putting in $1 million. That's getting two, yeah, and then I'm cashing out the next day.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to Hawaii.
There is a good business plan.
Oh. There is a limit.
Okay,
and
makes sense.
In order for you to be able to take out those bonus dollars,
yeah,
you have to bet X amount.
Sure.
Yeah, of that.
So. Well, that makes sense.
But
just gotta let it ride on one bet, baby.
MyBookie.ag, college football, NFL football.
You bet on the Lightning if you want because they're going to win every game.
Heck yeah. I might even try that. You just opened up another doorway right
there.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to be betting on the Lightning.
All right, so they go what website? My cookie.
MyBookie.ag.
I'll let you know it's your website.
Yeah, I'm going to start that one.
My cookie.
Right.
This is MyBookie.ag.
Okay.
Mention Pewter. Mention PewterReport.com's Pewter Nation podcast, and you're all set up. It's quick and easy to sign up, and they've got a great app for your phone. They've got the fastest payouts in the business. They say within 48 hours you get your money in your account. I've gotten the money in my account instantaneously. So fast payouts, a lot of fun. Put your money where your mouth is and go make some money.
All right, we're going to wrap this up with the rapid fire yes or no question. Scott, is a guy that his name rhymes with Gron Juden going to be coaching the Ducks next year? Yes or no?
Yes.
Trevor, same question. Gron Juden.
The Oregon Ducks, yes. Will be.
Okay, yep. Very good. Yep. Not the Gators.
No, absolutely not.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say no.
You're going to say it's not going to be?
That he's not going to be the head coach of the Oregon
guy
Ducks?
By the name of Jim Jarboe.
What about the Anaheim Ducks?
Pardon me?
Jim Jarboe.
What in the world? Are you starting the rumor that...
Jim Jarboe. Or either Kill Bauer. Get that one?
No.
Yeah, Bill Cowher.
It's not going to be Bill Cowher.
It's going to be Vic Dermel. No?
No.
Just trying to bring up old names at this point.
I'm so lost.
Yeah, I...
What? Dick Vermeil? You don't know him?
I mean, I...
He came back after like 20 years.
How about Jimbo Fisher?
That would be Fimbo Gisher.
Yeah.
Come on. Use your club names here. No one uses their real names.
I'm just saying.
We're talking code. All right. Yeah. No, Fimbo Gisher is not coming to the Buccaneers. He got a $34 million buyout. I don't think the Blazers are doing that.
Yeah.
Not with a 2-5 or 3-5 football team that he has right now. Let's replace Dirk with another disappointing coach.
John Gruden, I could see.
Yeah. John Gon Juden. All right, so anyway, we appreciate everybody listening. We will be back after the game on Sunday. We will do another immediate post-game reaction podcast for you guys. For Trevor Sikkema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cooksand. We'll see you next Sunday for another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast.